Halflings, it has finally happened. We have merch!
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The crowd does indeed go wild. We have been working very hard behind the scenes to make some excellent merch for you all, which is available to pre-order right now. Some of them will be available from the 3rd of October and the others from the 1st of November. We wanted to do this in time for the holidays so that if you know someone who maybe enjoys a bit of Three Black Halflings, you can get them a Christmas present or indeed for yourself. It's also a fantastic way to support the show. You basically have like a Unati pack, by the way, a Unati stickers pack.
It's true.
Pretty awesome. Unati stickers pack. I like this.
It's called the Suffer and Learn sticker pack, but originally it was called the Unati sticker pack.
Okay, good. I'm happy with the Suffer and Learn.
We liked it because it's like, then it's quotes.
Instead of just pictures of Unati's face.
Several different expressions.
Yeah. It's weird because this is not a video show. You know what it is? It's visualizations of the audio track. Oh, like Unati's audio tracks from some of her finest episodes.
Yeah. It's just the blocked out lines where she's peaked her microphone from laughing.
Exactly.
So the merch that we have available, we have a yellow collage hoodie, which has a mixture of designs and phrases from the show. The Three Black Halflings t-shirt, which has got an amazing design and the words Three Black Halflings. It looks so nice. I'm very happy with that one. Then we have the Outlaws and Obelisks poster. You can order a physical poster. A beautiful, gorgeous poster of Outlaws and Obelisks. Then we have a pin and then two whole sticker packs.
I have a question.
Yes.
Does this pin definitively answer the question of the official abbreviation for Three Black Halflings?
I think it does.
We've been saying TBH. Should we start selling swatches? We have to tell about the deal with Swatch. The Three Black Halflings Swatch Watch.
But, you know, this is one of those things that has evolved over time. We're forming our brand identity, and I think 3BH is just a little bit better.
We have officially become a corporation.
We are a huge corporation with Jamal at the top.
Jamal is pleased.
First critical role, then us.
There is also a tip jar on the store. If you would like to, you can give us a tip, and some of the proceeds will go to the amazing Jonathan Charles, who made the music for Outlaws and Obelisks. As when you donate to the tip jar at any level, you will be able to download the music that Jonathan has made for Outlaws and Obelisks, and it is absolutely incredible. Like, you will want to listen to this without us all talking over the top of it because it's so so good.
I listen to it for fun.
Yes.
Like, when I'm on planes and stuff, I'll just play the songs over and over again on a
because they're so good.
This is a true fact. Because they're real good.
They're really good.
Excellent tunage.
And some of the stickers I'm very, very proud of. I really think they look so badass, and I can't wait to slap them all over my office.
I love the Poochie Rat Bag sticker that is extremely late 90s.
Yes, it really is.
It is extremely late 90s.
Make sure you head over to store.dftba.com/collections/3blackhalflings. And if you would like to get yourself a discount, you can get 10% off if you are a patron on any tier. That is patreon.com/TBHalflings.
Woohoo!
Head over to all of our social medias. It will be plastered all over our social medias for a long, long, long time, I'm sure. But please support the show, buy some merch. It means a lot to us. And it would be really, really, really fucking cool to see some people, take some pictures in some Three Black Halflings merch. I'm so goddamn excited. Well, let's get into this week's episode.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hello, halflings. It's me, Jeremy Cobb, but Fuvkin A calls me Leland Jr. Jr. And it's don't worry about it, Unati. It's a Dimension 20 reference.
Okay.
Actually, I wish that I had thought to have this when we were interviewing Matt Mercer. I had done this when we were interviewing Matt Mercer, then it's actually a reference to a character who was named after his character in Escape from the Blood Keep.
Okay, cool. Awesome. That's why I thought I recognized the name, because I have watched Escape from Blood Keep. I was like, hang on a minute. I know that.
Yeah, Leland Jr. No spoilers for anybody who hasn't listened to that. But yeah, Leland Jr. is a character in Escape from the Blood Keep.
Yeah.
And that character is named after Matt Mercer's character. Anyway, all of that said, I am joined today by...
the Unati Lewis Yao, but everybody calls me
Unati. It's the nicknaming convention really does not work if I don't come after you. It shows how much the intro of this show was shaped by the order in which we were introduced.
Yeah.
So, like, the fact that I'm saying my nickname up front, you know what? Yeah, it's okay. We'll get it next time. I think I did it before. I have to drop the nickname after you give your introduction.
Uh-huh. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I say
my name, and then you say your actual name and introduction, and then I jump back in.
Yeah.
That's my thinking.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God!
This is the wrong dungeon and the wrong dragon.
Full Prince vibe? Woof.
This makes them even more black.
Cake glitches and pitches.
And lands in the cusp of a teaspoon.
Oh, no.
On a nat 20.
No!
You think this is just a game?
That's disgusting and I love it.
Yeah. We're about to get into something real big now.
Well, anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about today. What we're actually here to talk about today is a new, call it segment, show model, whatever. We're trying something new out, folks. This is something that hopefully, if it works out and if people like it, then we'll be able to do it a few more times. But it's so new, I don't even have a name for it. The idea is that we are going to, for 30 minutes, create a world and a character, a setting that you, Unati, wish to play in, and a character that you wish to play.
Okay.
And after that 30 minutes is up, we will then play for 30 minutes, an improvised D&D session DM'd by me. This idea, I realized after I came up with it, was probably partially inspired by the podcast Left Foot Forward. Shout out to Daisy.
Woo!
I love Daisy. Where they play Wander Home, and basically part of the game of Wander Home is just creating the characters and everything. That's like the best part of the game. And then they do like a group, like, well, it's them and one other guest, but then they play for like an hour.
Oh, cool.
The difference is D&D is not designed to have to be played with little to no prep.
Yeah.
It's basically not designed to be played this way.
Yeah.
However, what I was hoping was that we would be able to demonstrate how straightforward world building can be, and how you don't have to spend tons and tons of time coming up with this extremely detailed backstory to play a character that you have fun playing. You don't have to spend tons and tons of time creating a world in order to create something that you and your friends are having a good time with.
Yeah.
Ideally, you probably should write some plans down if you're actually going to be doing this long term. But you know what? We're not doing this world long term. Who knows? Maybe we'll bring it back at some point. But we're not doing it right now. So sit back, relax, and get ready for... And I'm going to start listing possible names. Screenless D&D. That's one of the names that I would come up with.
Cool.
Pocket World Building. That's one.
World Building. Yes, we love that.
Behind the screen.
Huh.
There's that one.
That's fun.
Inside the forge.
Mm.
That's another one. My friend Eric. He of the.
No. My friend Eric.
Yeah, we're gonna be playing my friend Eric. You know what? I'm adding it to the list.
Okay.
I'm adding it to the list. My friend Eric. That is now on the list.
And last but not least, my real life friend, Eric, who was the inspiration for the trash trash puppies.
Yeah.
Was it trash puppies and cheese? He was the trash puppy who was eating the cheese in that game. He suggested the name Playing God, which I think is pretty good.
That's fun.
Yeah,
that's
I think it's a pretty good one.
Good.
So who knows? Let us know, fans, which of those you like. We can... We'll workshop it. We'll workshop it. And also let us know if you like this segment, because this is about to be very interesting. And I'm going to start. Are you ready, Unati, give me an idea for this
segment? An idea. I was born ready. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Don't give it yet. Don't give it yet. I have to start the timer. And I'm starting the timer in 3, 2, 1. Create!
Oh Lord, a world. I would
any kind of setting you want to play in.
Any kind of setting I want to play in. I want to play in like an X-Men X, like mutant world, kind of like Africa meets Japan setting, like African samurai mutants.
Okay. Okay, African samurai mutants. Cool. Is there like a dojo slash, is, I guess in this case, the home for gifted youths would be a dojo?
Yeah, it would be like a dojo
situation.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And are you a member of this dojo?
Yeah, I'm a member of this dojo, and as usual, I have all the knives.
I'm going to go ahead and say up front, I am not an expert on feudal Japanese history or
me neither.
Just general the African continent. So there's going to be a lot of drawing from anime and also Akira Kurosawa movies.
Yeah.
And then what research I have already done for like Cub and the Caterpillar and for Outlaws and Obelisks. It's interesting. We'll see how this goes. Okay. So you said you are a member?
Yeah, I am a member of the dojo. I'm a founding member of the dojo.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're one of the older ones.
Yeah. I'm one of the older ones, and like we're a dojo by day, but at night we're a secret order of assassins. Emperors and kings and queens task us to maintain balance in the world, political balance.
Okay. So here's the question. You said that we're doing X-Men. Are we keeping over the idea that mutants are hated and persecuted?
Yes, why not?
Fundamental to the X-Men world.
Yeah, it is the thing.
Okay,
yeah.
So here's my question. If you're part of a school, which I presume is a school of mutants.
Yes.
How is it that you all are being trusted enough by kings and queens to do their dirty work throughout the world? Give me an explanation for this arrangement.
Blood pact, like ancient, like pact, like we owe them like our lives or something. Like
So like they, if you say they're owing their lives,
yeah.
Then that gives me the idea that perhaps you guys, they know, like the government knows what you guys really are, that you're a front from mutant school.
Yeah.
And that they're only allowing you to remain open if you basically act as government stooges for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm talking about
that.
This is fun.
Tasked by kings and queens to do their dirty work in exchange for being allowed to remain open and alive. So are there sentinels? Do sentinels exist? Okay, cool. I'm happy to have some sentinels. You know, with X-Men.
Yes. You know what I mean? I would just say yes. Let's go for it. Why not?
Yes. And I'm imagining the sentinels are the ones wearing the samurai armor. Like,
yeah.
I just like the idea of it's similar to, I think, in the movie The Wolverine, where he's, because isn't like the silver samurai like a suit that somebody's wearing in that?
I think so.
That's what it's reminding me of.
Like creepy, weird sentinel suit mech vibes.
Okay, cool. And you specifically are one of the founding members of this school.
Yeah, I'm one of the founding members.
Okay. I think we have a basis. Yeah. We can continue with like, because what we need essentially is potentially a villain. We may need a Magneto.
Yeah,
we do. And you need a Professor X.
Yeah, you need a Professor X. Yeah.
Who, you don't have to be any specific character who exists in the X-Men mythos, yeah. But who are you?
I'm a sneaky one. Because what it appears to be is I appear to be like the house matron of the school. Like you know, like the front, like the principal, like
Okay, so you are ostensibly the principal of the school.
Yeah, I'm the principal of the school. I liaise. I'm the one who goes to like the royal courts and stuff, and I'm the face. Like I liaise with people. That's what it looks like. But really, I'm actually like a deep like poisoner assassin. Like I'm like my skin is like poison.
I hear somebody setting up a rogue in the back. Is that?
That's me.
Is that what's happening right now? Am I getting rogued right now?
What part of I have all the knives did you not understand? Guys, you know me. You know me.
It's true.
It's true.
Okay, so you are shockingly a rogue. Okay, wonderful. I'm thinking level 5 for this because you are, I mean, you're a very experienced at playing rogues, and also your character is very experienced at being a rogue. What kind of rogue are you?
Probably assassin, right?
Okay, yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Okay, cool. Yeah.
And you are a poisoner as well?
Yeah, poisoner.
Are you human? Are you gonna be human in this? Like variant human?
Yeah, I'm gonna go variant human.
Yeah, the only reason I bring it up is because you could then have the poisoner feet as part of that. Yeah. So human variant, poisoner feet. Would you like to, well, I guess as far as skills go.
Yeah.
Because I think the human variant, you get to pick +1 to +2 ability scores.
Uh-huh.
But we'll get to ability scores in a second.
Yeah.
First, should we pick proficiencies?
Persuasion or deception? Deception. I do a lot of lying.
That's true. You're a principal.
Yeah. Ability score increases, so we're going to come back to that. Let me just quickly go to class. Obviously a rogue.
Color me surprised.
Like,
I really don't know what I was expecting.
Yeah, I don't know what you thought was going to happen yet. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Proficiencies, yes?
It's my own fault for having dreams.
Proficiencies, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to need that to be persuasion, talky stuff.
Mm-hmm. Probably also stealth, I'd imagine, if you're running around poisoning people.
Evil stealth and sleight of hand to get the poison into stuff. And then I've got athletics, so what I have left? Perception, performance. I'm not a backflippy one. I'm more of a sneaky one. Yeah.
Well, are you, when you say ninja, because you said you're an order of ninjas, yes, I think sneaky and flippy.
Sneaky. Flippy.
Which, by the way, we're basically going by the anime/movie version of ninjas, because in real life, some ninjas were good at acrobatics, but most ninjas didn't dress up and run around.
Yeah.
They certainly didn't wear all black, but like it was, mostly wore normal clothes, and then they would sneak in and kill somebody.
Cool, I've done that. So
this is very much the X-Men version.
This is totally the X-Men version.
We are doing X-Men anime, also Africa somehow.
I don't know how that's gonna come in yet.
We'll figure out how to add in some African. So you were born with mutant abilities.
Yes, I was born with mutant ability. So my mutant ability is that like I can like basically, like through like my sweat or whatever, like I can like imbue anything with like a little bit of poison. Like I can just like molecularly like just shift something subtly so it'll make you ill or kill you or whatever.
Okay, so your skin secretes poison.
Yeah,
what I'm hearing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, then. Here is my suggestion. Why we should keep you as a human.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
have you? I think we could throw in Grung as like an addition, a Grung ability, because the Grungs are the Grungs. Would you say Grung as Grung is its plural, or Grung like is Grung the plural, or is Grungs the plural?
I would go with Grung. It just feels more streamlined. Makes me feel fancy.
I don't know. I usually say the Grung.
Yeah.
Because I think that is actually what it is.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Yeah. So here's, let me see if I can find the full page here. See, now there's the option of having the regular old race Grung, where you're immune to poison damage and the poisoned condition. And any creature that touches your skin has to make a DC 12 con save or be poisoned for 1 minute. Let me see though, really quickly. I want to see the monster Grung, because some of those are pretty cool. Like there are some abilities that the monster Grung have that I very much enjoy. Yeah. Depending on the color of the Grung. And I like the idea of you being able to secrete all kinds of different poisons.
Ooh.
Yeah. Variant Grung poison. I'll read it to the audience. And by the way, I didn't read all the original, the racial Grung stuff. So a poisoned creature no longer in direct contact with you can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of its turns, ending the effect on itself on a success. You can also apply this poison to any piercing weapon as part of an attack with that weapon, though when you hit, the poison reacts differently. The target must succeed on a DC 12 con save or take 2d4 poison damage. So that's the regular Grung. That's the race Grung. The monster Grung has the same thing: poisonous skin. If you touch them, as long you have to succeed on a DC 12 con save or become poisoned for 1 minute, and if you are no longer in direct contact with the Grung, you can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of your turns, ending the effect on itself on your on a success. But there's also Grung Poison, which is a variant. Grung Poison loses its potency 1 minute after being removed from a Grung. I'm going to copy and paste all of this in our chat so you have access to it if you don't see it currently.
Thank you very much, Lovely.
Yes, a similar breakdown occurs if the Grung dies. A creature poisoned by a Grung can suffer an additional effect that varies depending on the Grung's skin color. Because Grung, for those of you who don't know, Grung are basically poison dart frogs, and they come in a variety of different colors. This effect lasts until the creature is no longer poisoned by the Grung. Green. The poisoned creature can't move except to climb or make standing jumps. If the creature is flying, it can't take any actions or reactions unless it lands. Then there's blue. The poisoned creature must shout loudly or otherwise make a loud noise at the start of end of its turn. Three is purple. The poisoned creature feels a desperate need to soak itself in liquid or mud. It can't take actions or move except to do so or to reach a body of liquid or mud. Red. The poisoned creature must use its action to eat food if it's within reach. Orange. The poisoned creature is frightened of its allies. And gold. The poisoned creature is charmed and can speak Grung. I'm thinking if you are willing, I think is a fun little thing to add for your character. Since you're just naturally poisonous, you might be. What if each time you do this, it's similar to like the alchemist for the artificer, and you roll a die to see what effect happens.
Yay! I like that.
There's six effects, so it'd be a D6. So each time you just roll a D6, let me know which one it is, and then that would be what effect occurs to your enemies. Okay, and that would be like in it. So that would be whether you hit somebody with an attack that has been poisoned, because you can then, I would say, use the Grung ability where you can, if it's a piercing weapon of some kind, you can poison it as part of the attack. Or if something touches you, then, and it fails the constitution save. And what does the poisoner feat give you? It gives you like additional stuff. The poisoner feat. When you you can prepare and deliver deadly poisons, gaining the following benefits. When you make a damage roll, you ignore resistance to poison damage. That's very good for you. You can coat a weapon in poison as a bonus action instead of an action. Well, that part doesn't matter for you because you can do it as part of the attack. You gain proficiency with the poisoner's kit if you don't already have it. With 1 hour of work using a poisoner's kit and expending 50 gold pieces worth of materials, you can create a number of doses of potent poison equal to your proficiency bonus. Once applied to a weapon or piece of ammunition, the poison retains its potency for 1 minute or until you hit with the weapon or ammunition. When a creature takes damage from the coated weapon or ammunition, that creature must succeed on a DC 14 con save or take 2d8 poison damage and become poisoned until the end of your next turn. So what that tells me is, I'm guessing with your abilities, maybe you are able to enhance them, like you're able to enhance the poisons that you naturally secrete so that the save goes up to a DC 14 and they take 2d8 poison damage from you if you hit them with something, or if you coat yourself in poison, I guess, is the option.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously we only have half an hour to play, but I could also like find poisons in the world, but you know, 30 minutes, guys.
Yes. I'm thinking that for this, you can just have already prepared, 3 doses of this poison. 'Cause you're level 5. Yeah. And, I think just to keep the element of randomness for this, we'll have you roll each time you use that poison too. That'll be your special poison, and then everything else is just regular poison, and you can continue attacking with that. Yes. And then, the next thing that we need to do, let's see, what else is left? I'm imagining deception and stealth. That's just my guess. Those of you, we've already talked about expertise on the show. Basically, it doubles your proficiency bonus for 2 of these skills.
Ability score improvement is the only thing that's left. I can have.
Yes. Well, let's roll for skills, or let's roll for ability scores. Excuse me, first. Let's roll for ability scores. You can either use D&D Beyond, which might be a little bit faster, or you can roll by hand. Either option is fine.
Yeah, I am quickly going to go here for ability. So 4d6.
Drop the lowest. Okay, so we're going physical dice, folks. We're going physical dice.
Right. Okay, cool. That is, that's the lowest there. So that's 15 on 1.
All right. Just write them. I'm going to write them down even as you go.
Thank you very much. 15. Then, that is 13 on another.
13. Okay.
Drop the lowest one. 10. Ooh, 16 on one.
Hey, you'll love to see it. You absolutely love to see it.
Drop the lowest one. Ooh, 12, 15 on another.
These are some good stats so far. 2 15s and a 16.
Yeah, and then...
Two more.
Drop the lowest one. 13 on one.
Okay. Nothing below a 13 so far. One more.
That's a 2. Oh, okay. Finally, we're going to get some shit ones. What's this? Why is my brain not working? 12.
That's not even bad. That's the same bonus as a 13. That wasn't bad at all. That was absolutely fine. Okay, so you have a 15, a 13, a 16, a 15, a 13, and a 12.
Okay, cool. So 12's going
not in a bad sight in not a bad stat in sight.
Yeah, 12's going into my strength.
Yeah, okay. I'm thinking 16 for dexterity.
Yeah. 16 for dex. 15 in charisma.
Yeah, and then the other 15 maybe in either constitution or wisdom.
Yeah, it's going into wisdom. And then what did I have?
You have 2 13s.
13. That seems like a really nice set of stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Now, here's my question. Would you then want to put, where do you put your plus ones for this character? Because remember, you're a variant human, right? You get to put 2 plus 1s?
Yeah. I am going to put my 2 plus 1s in dex and charisma.
Okay. So charisma gets bumped up to a 16 and dex gets bumped up to a 17. And now you have the option of the ability score. You could, since your dexterity is now a 17, if you put a one, plus one in that, that goes to an 18. And then you could put the other plus one in wisdom, was it?
Yeah, let's jump.
And bump that to a 16.
Bump that. I'm happy with that. That's that.
For those of you who aren't as versed in creating characters, odd numbers do not increase the modifier. Only even numbers increase the modifier. So you want, it's good to have odd numbers to start with, because then you could put ability score points in them. But just bumping something from a 16 to a 17 doesn't actually make a mechanical difference. It's what you want is that sweet, sweet 18. And that takes it from a plus 3 to a plus 4. So you have some pretty solid stats.
Some pretty solid stats here. I'm pretty freaking stacked.
Not a single minus in sight. Not a single minus in sight. My next question then is, what is your background? Because we don't have a background for you yet.
Yeah, let me just have a look here. Background.
Charlatan?
Courtier?
Are you, well, maybe. Where are you coming from? Where are you coming from? Like, where's this character coming from?
Well, I mean, I think one of the reasons why, like, she's like the principal and stuff, and she's allowed to, like...
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
You know, move amongst the high and mighty is, I think she's like of like royal lineage. But she was born a mutant and then sort of like, she's kind of hidden and shunned, but now she gets to run the school.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
So you came up in the court.
Yeah. And then like at like the age of like 15 was like, oh shit, people around me keep getting poisoned. And then they were like, oh, we need to hide her.
Oh, dang. Yeah. So you are part of who negotiated this deal is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
If you're already in the court and you guys are getting a bunch of orders from kings and queens.
Yeah.
Okay. So essentially they
all of the advantages I can.
Yeah. You're making yourself very much the protagonist of this normally very ensemble setting, but that's the important thing in this case.
Yeah.
You're the only player. You're
exactly.
The only one
I'm
that matters.
I'm trying to help myself here. I'm trying
yeah.
to help myself.
Okay, so you started out as, you're a courtier. That's your background?
Literally, it was like the first thing I saw, and I was like, okay, cool, I can make that
work. You're throwing out like, charlatan? No, it's just courtier. Let's do courtier.
That's okay. Ooh, that cough is spicy.
Yes. These after action sicknesses are no joke, folks.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, basically every time, it's a weird actor thing. Every time you do a job and you finish it,
yeah,
your body goes,
and
you get sick.
Yep.
And Unati got slammed, came up in a royal court, and is being given protection due to her courtly connections. I imagine that you're not immune. It's just a matter of, like, if you keep doing, you were just able to broker this deal.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's a case of, like, I'm very much disowned, but my family won't see me dead.
Yeah, but if you don't do, if you, like, fail in your missions and stuff, then things could go very poorly for the school. What's the name of the school, by the way?
Oh, wow. Akata Academy. Thank you, Nenni Okorofo. Very good.
Okay. Does Akata have, like, a specific meaning?
No, I'm literally just looking at my copy of the Akata Witch. I'll check out.
Works for me, baby. Works for me. Akata Academy. You are the principal of the Akata Academy. What is the principal's name? What is your name?
Akata, which means
jackal. Can I say Akata Academy for Gifted Youths?
Akata Academy for Gifted Youths and Akata...
Oh, no, for Gifted Youngsters.
Youngsters,
that's the word,
yeah,
we want. For
and
gifted
apparently
youngsters.
In Yoruba, it means jackal or wildcat.
Ooh, okay. Is wildcat or jackal your superhero name?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go with jackal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And as for inspiration, because it gave me inspiration, yeah, my character's name is Nendi Okorafo.
N-E-N-D-I?
So it's N-N.
N-N.
D-I. And please, anyone who speaks Yoruba, please come and drag me if I have mispronounced that horrifically.
Just to make sure, N-N-E-D-I?
Yes, N-N-E-D-I.
Okay, and then what's the last name?
Can you spell it?
O-K-O.
O-K-O.
R-A.
R-A.
F-O-R.
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 Okay.
I don't know where the stress and stuff lives.
Shout out to anyone who is actually Yoruba. We're trying our best. This is essentially, yeah, this isn't, we're not going to be drawing deep from either of the cultures that we're going from. It's just, in this case, it would be some cool iconography.
Yeah.
And really, it's, I think both of these are very present in X-Men as well.
Yeah.
Wolverine with all of the samurai connections.
Yeah.
And then you have Storm, who's a literal queen.
Exactly. Exactly. And also, read Akata Witch if you haven't.
Yes, go check that out. I want you, Unati, to start brainstorming with the last 3 minutes.
Uh-huh.
The name of the Professor Xavier character, what your relationship is to them. The name of the Magneto character and what your relationship is to them. And maybe what the team name is.
Okay. Okay. Okay, cool. So the name of the Xavier character is going to be... Zaxenda. I'm just gonna go with African authors.
Okay, what's the name? What are the names?
Xavier. We're gonna go with Zaxenda because
Can you copy and paste that into the chat?
Sure, I'm gonna type that because
and also spell it.
Yeah. I'm just going with Zaxenda. I'm just going with African authors. No, not makes, dude. Don't autocorrect myself.
Oh, no. Makes mda.
Zakes mda. I meant that. Okay, cool.
Oh, there we go. Zakes. Z-A-K-E-S-M-D-A.
Zakes mda. And then...
And that's Xavier.
That's Xavier. And then Magneto, we're going to go with Gacha.
Okay.
Gacha.
Like the genre of game?
Like the political leader of, I think, Mkondo is it? Right?
Oh.
I think.
I don't know. Okay. Gotcha is the name of, is the Magneto equivalent.
Yeah. Cool. Please don't come for me, any South Africans. My grandma just didn't like Gaja that much, so that's why I've gone for that.
The cultural implications of this episode are far wider reaching than I had ever anticipated.
I know, right? Like, I was not expecting this.
So spicy.
This is interesting.
Okay, so we have, let's see. Okay, so we have the Akata Academy for Gifted Youngsters. Tell me if I'm pronouncing this right. Nedi Okorafor is Jackal. And then Zakes Nda is the Xavier equivalent. And Gacha is the Magneto equivalent. And Nedi is a founding member of the dojo, which is actually, by day it's a school, but by night you're a secret order of assassins tasked by queens and kings to do their dirty work in exchange for being allowed to remain open and alive. You were able to help broker this deal because you came up in a royal court and you're being given protection due to your courtly connections through your family. Yeah, I guess you teamed up, perhaps. Maybe you were approached by Zakes to help start this school.
Yeah. Like, I think we teamed up. Like, I think that, like...
We have 20 seconds.
Oh, okay. Zakes, right. Zakes, I was kicked out, running around, not used to, like, staying alive on the streets on my own. Zakes found me, took me in, and realized that I also have powers, and he also had powers, and he helped me.
And then you got the Familia connections back?
Yeah, after
having been kicked out?
Yeah. I mean, I started doing good, right? Like, and I was proving myself. And because like a whole, like, a Zuko thing. Like, the more good
and
I do,
time is up.
The more good I do, the more my dad likes me.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so this is a meritocracy, essentially, what I'm hearing. Not necessarily in the whole country, but in the court. Okay. All right. Well, Nedi Okorafor, Jackal, cool. We're going to now improvise a whole little mini session here. So, Nedi, you have finished as the principal, I imagine you don't actually teach the children directly. First I have to count down. First, the 30-minute counter starts in 3, 2, 1. Now, Nedi, you, as a principal, I imagine you don't actually teach much. Your contact is primarily administrative.
Yes, it is. I usually spend my days dealing with the school's public relations and making sure any skirmishes that my students have been in with any locals who do not respect our kind or want to outcast us even further are resolved. And I also make sure that all of our missions are running on schedule.
That sounds like a very busy job, especially if in fact your students are regularly getting into skirmishes with the populace, which I suppose means that the Akata Academy for Gifted Youngsters is known to be a mutant school. Is that correct?
We live on a knife's edge. We maintain that we are not a mutant school. No one has been able to prove it categorically so far. And you can imagine, when dealing with young teenagers, the natural hormones alone during puberty raging, imagine that compounded with the further physiological changes. And you know, rages are prone, and oftentimes purely just mistakes. You only find out someone is a mutant generally through some sort of strife.
Right. Okay. Well, after a long day of putting out fires, essentially, and trying to make sure that all of these missions, that frankly, the royal family, they're taking some liberties, because at first it was like big crises, and now it feels like they're just sending you out basically, and you essentially are being turned into the arm of a police state right now. Any real political rivals that this family has gotten are now essentially being threatened, or in some cases killed if they become too threatening, by your organization, by the agents of the Akata Academy. This It's highly questionable. I mean, the ethics of the situation are very questionable, but at the same time, it is helping not only keep the school open and alive, but it also, in many ways, it's helping to keep some stability in the nation. This is a monarchy. This is not a democracy. So if you're constantly having political rivals and pretenders to the throne, it's not a great scenario. I think at the end of the day, you would receive a message on one of your view screens in your office from Zakes himself, Zakes Mda, who I imagine is a very popular or very prominent mutant activist whose affiliation with the school is not known.
Yes, yes. We decided on this as a matter of prudence in order to keep our students safe.
Right. And so he asks for you to please enter the sensory deprivation chamber so that he can speak with you.
I enter the sensory deprivation chamber.
Okay. So I imagine that it's similar to like a vacuum seal scenario. I've never been in a sensory deprivation chamber. So we're doing an X-Men sensory deprivation chamber. The lights dim very slowly as you sit. It's similar to what you might imagine a hyperbaric chamber to look like, I think. In my brain, it's like a little pod that you can get in. You lie in. There's water. You know what I'm picturing? I'm picturing the stasis chambers from Interstellar. That's what I'm picturing right now. You get into one of these stasis chambers from Interstellar. There's water surrounding it, but it's warm, but you can't feel it. You're basically being slowly sous vide, but in a very kind way, inside of this little bag that exists. So there's like a little bag inside of it that you're climbing into. There's warm water underneath it that's heating it, but that's all it is. It's like keeping you at a nice little even temperature, helping you relax. The chamber closes above you. The lights in the room have dimmed. There's oxygen being pumped into this. Like, you breathing is in no way an issue, but you are able to close your eyes, relax. You feel your senses start to just unfurl. As you know that this is also, you also don't have to worry about this chamber being used by anybody else because this is your personal chamber. So your skin secretions, you can secrete all you want. I imagine throughout the day, you probably have to like resist, like whatever methods you've devised, either like if it's your sweat or what, I don't know, but you're having to like keep it all, keep yourself from secreting.
Yes. My room must maintain a cool temperature at all times. And during the summer months, I have to leave the premises almost fully dressed. It is unbearable.
That's tough. That's tough. I imagine that it's similar to like what they did with Paul Bettany's Vision costume, where they have like a cooling system inside of it. Not comfortable, but it helps.
It does help, and it's currently in the prototype stage, so there are some kinks to work out.
So as you lie down in this chamber and your senses are deprived, as is the name. Now the nice thing about Zakes Mda being the way that he is, being a mutant, is that his telepathic powers mean that he never has to actually be visible at the Akata Academy. If you are in the sensory deprivation chamber, he can easily reach you with his mental powers, because now you are not, there's no like psychic competition. He can just jump in there and speak directly to you. And it's not long before you feel that familiar, friendly, warm touch of his mind saying, you hear, Nedi, how are you?
Oh, I am well, but we are spread rather thin.
Yes.
And these constant missions are beginning to take a toll.
Yes, it's really been nonstop. But I have to say, you've done such an admirable job of managing it so far. Tell me, in your current state of exhaustion, do you think you might have it in you to perform a mission tonight? Well, that's good, because I've heard the king and queen have spoken through their various aides and messengers. The word has come through. There's a top priority mission. And I would much rather have the jackal handle it than, say, the honey badger. That guy is out of control.
He really is. I keep telling him not to continually get into trouble. And I keep finding him at all of the brothels and then taverns in town.
Has he gotten his memory back yet?
No. And he insists that he has never done anything wrong or foolish in his life. It's like reasoning with a child. Anyway, yes, I will absolutely take this mission.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Well, I'm going to beam the coordinates directly into your mind. I will place them deep within your memories so that you do not forget them until such time as need be. Do you consent to me placing these memories inside of your head?
I consent.
And just like sort of eased in. I mean, this has been done umpteen times. This is also like the easiest secure way to deliver these missions. He literally just beams all of the mission information into your head. Essentially, it's thought that Gacha and his team are about to pull in some stuff. The Sentinel program, as you know, has been in the works for quite a while. It's being developed simultaneously as a police system for the kingdom, but also as a military system to help defend the kingdom. It's considered like it's essentially being the Sentinels are being advertised as a defense network system, essentially, they're all connected via a satellite network that beams information to all of them simultaneously. Essentially, they are drones. It's like an army of drones, but that look like large humanoids that go around. Now, you, of course, know at the Ikata Academy that these things were originally devised in order to find and stamp out mutants wherever they could. However, through your efforts, or through your influence and efforts at running the Ikata Academy, and of course, influencing the royals and Zakes Mda's activism, these operations were curtailed, and instead they're just being used as essentially a defense system and a military system now, the Sentinels. However, there is strong suspicion that Gacha has infiltrated the manufacturing and programming plant for the Sentinels and is potentially planning something. There is strong evidence that one of his operatives, you know the one, the Chameleon, was sent in and has actually replaced one of the employees. Multiple employees have called in sick, allegedly. And every single time one of them is called in sick, it's like one after another per day. And they, based on the security camera footage, the indication seems to be that you can see the telltale signs of Chameleon's presence. There's like footage where you can see at some point in one of their pant legs, it looks like there's a tail that's coiled around the leg briefly. You'll see a moment where as one of them like looks into a camera, one eye will dart to another direction, just looking around in a very abnormal way. There've also been cases where one of them looked in a mirror, frowned, and then turned a shade darker, smiled, and continued with their day. They've been trying to go through pinpointing who the next target will be, and another employee has just called in sick. Like, each day what has happened is that this person has been swapping identities and taking out more and more people and replacing them. That's what is thought, that Chameleon's been doing this. They want you to go in this evening because they've gotten somebody on the night shift this time. This is actually one of the security guards in the plant. So they essentially have access to every part of the plant right now. You are to go in this evening, find this employee. For our purposes, we will say that the employee's name is Asafa.
Asafa. Okay.
Yeah. The employee's name is Asafa Hotiro. I feel like that's not. Asafa Hotiro. I don't think that's a real Japanese name, surname, but I'm trying.
Okay. We're doing our best.
We're doing our best. It sounds, you know what? I do know. I do know actually a Japanese surname. Wait, let me see. I'll find you an actual Japanese surname in just a second.
I just realized I did not give myself any weapons. So could I please have a dagger and a rapier?
Yeah, absolutely. That works for me. Cool. This is what I wanted. This is Asafa Shimura. That's his name.
Asafa Shimura. Awesome.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But that's not the actual name of Chameleon. No one knows Chameleon's real name. Chameleon's, of course, a woman. She normally has green skin and a tail, a beautiful chameleon tail. And she can look in multiple directions at once and change her appearance. But currently she is impersonating Asafa Shimura.
Okay, cool. Fabulous. Starting equipment. Excellent. I can actually do some damage to someone.
I love the and you can have thieves tools and everything if you want. Okay. So this site is not within easy driving distance. It's like on a completely other end of the kingdom. So you're probably going to have to use the jet.
Okay. We love
the jet. Yeah. So as the chamber opens, you have all this information just deep in your brain. You have like also knowledge of the layout of this facility.
Yeah.
What does your costume look like into costume?
So like, I'm going to like get into my costume. And it's essentially like leather armor, but like it's been woven with the techniques of making African cloth, and it's got like this black delicate shwe print on it in like black and grays, like you can barely see it, and it goes up. And the shwe print, like the dots are inside the shwe, allow for my poison to be secreted out, but they also act as like a cooling mechanism so that I don't sweat under my costume and don't secrete uniform. Whatever.
Yes.
Yes, that thing. Yes. So that I don't like sweat too much and accidentally poison people when I don't want to. And it's very durable. Yeah, that's what it looks like. And it's like full like cat suit, to the top like of my neck. Yeah.
I'm imagining some jackal ears.
Yeah, like
on the top.
There's some like jackal ears. And then
and a little snout,
and there's like this little, so like there's jackal ears and then like this sort of a half face mask that's just up to the eyes, so that, and then my eyes, like I've painted them black underneath, and then like there's like this little snout that's made in leather for like breathing, but can also open if like I want to release like an air-based poison, and then like with little jackal ears on the top.
Okay. That sounds sick.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'm imagining that for our purposes, we're going to say that the ship, instead of being the Blackbird, is called the Rodan.
Oh yeah.
And it straight up looks like Rodan that you climb into.
Yeah.
But it's like it has cloaking technology, so it doesn't show up. But it has like the same cool wings and head like the on top that you're sitting in like the base of the head part, seeing out through these eyes, and it you shoot off alone in the Rodan, completely turns invisible as you're like flying over the landscape.
Yeah.
You arrive there just as it's getting dark.
Yeah.
I imagine like it's one of those things you can tell it to just idle.
Yeah.
And so you hop in one of the little pods and it just pops you out the bottom.
Awesome.
The pod falls away. A parachute.
Yeah.
Unfurls, you come on down. You see below you the beautiful facility.
Yeah.
I'm imagining that the architecture is a mixture of pre-colonial Africa and feudal Japan.
Yeah.
So like a lot of the screens that you see in like Japanese architecture and like the roofing styles, but with like the walls often like resemble what you would see like with African architecture, where a lot of it's like mud brick what's the style? There's a specific style that I can't remember the name of. No. That looks like a, you don't even see bricks.
Yeah,
it looks like a solid mass.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Like a mixture of the browns that you see from that and different, all kinds of different colors.
Yeah.
As you're, it is this much too stylish for any facility. As you're floating down in this parachute, you arrive, like you're 30 feet, we'll say that you're 60 feet away from the facility.
Yeah.
Nobody saw you land from what you can tell.
Okay.
You have like cloaking stuff anyway on your on all of your tech.
Yeah.
So your landing probably would have been thought to have been a bird, if anything. Like it just reduces the size.
Yeah.
You see 60 feet ahead of you, there are convoys of like supplies and stuff being brought in.
Yeah.
You see guards kind of standing there. What do you do?
Is there a way for me to like jump up onto like the onto a convoy area and like
onto one of the trucks.
Yeah, onto one of the trucks and like get underneath it and hold myself up to like get inside.
Ooh, okay. Make me an acrobatics check.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Acrobatics plus 7. We like that. Oh yeah, that is a dirty 20.
Ooh, okay. You scamper across the ground, just like staying very low, and just slide underneath one of these trucks, grab onto the bottom, and are just going across, or as you're just like hang onto the underside. You can see on the others, like on the sides, looking at this under the sides of this. You see as you pass through the walls pass through the doorway, and you can see the walls passing you as you go in. You're inside of a large hangar now. The convoy is driving. You can't tell where because you can't see, but this is a very large area. You know that this warehouse has multiple exits. You can try and the issue is a lot of it's exposed. There's a lot of stuff in here. So if you're able to, like, you can see you're passing pieces of machinery that appear to be doing like automated repairs and construction on things.
So, like,
you can try and sneak your way out if you want.
Yeah, so what I'm going to try and do is like I'm making sure that like I'm not being clocked by anyone, I'm going to like jump from like little bit of machinery hide and find my way down to an exit.
So you come like rolling back out from underneath.
Roll
me a stealth check to navigate this place.
Awesome. Stealth check plus 10. Let's see what happens. That's a 27.
Oh boy. I don't think numerically none of these guards can see you. Even the camera system doesn't pick you up. You are just rolled for the cameras. Because you know where they are anyway.
Yeah.
You are hiding, jumping from piece of machinery, hiding about around. Like you're seeing all, you're getting a good view of all the inner workings of this place.
Yeah.
But as you're making your way towards one of the exits, you see one of the guards has just arrived wearing their typical guard uniform.
Yeah.
You see, though, in your memory, something pings. This is Asafa Shimura walking in, nodding, like, hey there, working hard or hardly working? Yeah. Just sort of walking through. Everybody's giving Asafa a little wave. Asafa walks up to one of the security doors, presses in a couple of numbers, and opens, goes through the door. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Can I like body roll, like tumble, like straight behind it into the door?
Oh, so you want to just like sprint? Because I was imagining, I don't know if I said how far it was away. We'll say that it's 30 feet away.
Okay.
We'll say that it's 30 feet away from you.
Okay.
This happens. And you can make a dash at the door and try and just get, you just want to go straight through?
I want to go straight through. Don't give a fuck what's on the other side.
Okay. And this, you have not been detected so far. There's a good chance of you just running. If you're running across this room, you might be seen. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I think, like, before I go, I'm just going to be, before I go, is there anything that I can, okay, Before I go, I'm going to take a ball bearing because I've got a burglar's pack. I've got a ball bearing. I'm going to grab a ball bearing and I'm going to like throw it into like the cogs of one of the machines so it starts to malfunction. Can I do that?
Ooh, okay. Make me an attack roll.
Plus seven. Do you want me to use plus seven or a plus five?
We'll say just use your dexterity to try and throw it.
Awesome.
So it's plus four. It's a plus four. Oh, awesome. Okay, it was a DC 16. It lands in there like in one of the gears. It was one of the things that was like lifting some of the shells of these vehicles and putting them on. Cause you can see there's all kinds of military stuff being constructed here, not just the Sentinels.
Awesome.
The like it starts immediately messing up and like drops the shell onto the ground. People are like, whoa, no! Running over.
Dash.
Okay, cool. Roll me a stealth check.
Cool.
This is going to be a flat roll.
Okay.
No advantage or disadvantage.
Okay.
And then make me an acrobatics check to try and get through this door just as supposedly Asafa Shimura goes through the door.
Stealth. That is going to be a 25 on stealth.
Ooh, baby.
Acrobatics.
Baby. Yeah, make that acrobatics.
That is going to be a 19 plus 7 is 26.
26 on acrobatics. You're rolling so well. Oh, man. Like, even with your pluses, you're rolling well.
I haven't rolled below a 10.
This is great.
Like, I haven't rolled below a 10 once.
I kind of love this. Okay, so you sprint up behind, you somersault through this door. You are now directly behind Asafa. Like, I'll say that you haven't touched them yet, but, like, you have somersaulted into this room. This ruse cannot stay.
What is in this room? My first question.
So you're in a corridor right now. You can see there are different, like, testing rooms, stuff like that, like, you can see down the hallway. I mean, you know that along this hallway, there are, there's areas where they're doing different tests, not as top secret. That's through another door, but it's through the door at the end of this corridor, which is, this corridor is 50 feet long. Actually, no, excuse me. This corridor is 100 feet long. You are now 5 feet like directly behind Asafa. You know that like there is no place to hide in this corridor. You'd have to like you'd have to get into one of the other rooms. Like you could even see like there's large windows for the other rooms that Asafa has not yet reached because they've just entered this hallway. The time for action is now.
Yeah. No, I'm absolutely gonna so I want to try and do two things, DM.
Yes.
Like, I want to simultaneously hedge my bets here. I want to try. I'm gonna try grapple Asafa, while trying to poison them. Like I want to like grapple and contain Asafa as the threat and get them close to me.
So you want to grapple them first and then make an attack?
Yeah, basically. Like a standing grapple. So like I don't want to like fall onto the ground. Like, I want to, like, brace
okay,
them.
Okay, so
them
you currently have the, just so we're clear on the, just so we're clear on the mechanics, you currently have surprise. If you attempt to grapple, you lose surprise. So you may have them grappled, but you no longer have surprise, which for an assassin, surprise is real dang big.
Real dang big, yeah.
Okay, I might suggest attack first, grapple after.
Yeah, that's fine. Awesome. Okay, cool. I did not know you lost surprise with a grapple.
Yeah, well, because once they know you're there, they're not surprised.
They know you're there. They know someone's there. Great. I'm going to then attack. And I want to like get like on their neck and get some poison in them.
Okay.
And then,
you know that chameleon's a tough customer, so you're gonna probably want to go hard or go home.
Okay, cool.
Chameleon is one of Gotcha's like second in command type peeps.
I don't have to take this person home alive, right?
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
They would prefer that you bring Asafa in which is Asafa, of course, the employee. Yeah. They would prefer that you bring Chameleon in alive on some level so that they can, but definitely incapacitated. And Chameleon is extremely difficult to contain because of her incredible shape-shifting abilities.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, like, if she dies...
Yeah, okay, cool. Awesome, sweet. So what I'm going to do is, since I'm behind her, I'm going to take my rapier and I'm going to go for the sweet spot just below the base of the neck.
Okay.
I'm also going to poison the rapier. And
okay, with one of the special poisons?
Yeah, one of the special poisons.
Okay, make the attack.
Drive it into the back of her head.
Okay, make the attack. You have advantage, I believe, on an attack against anyone who has not yet rolled.
Okay,
or who has not yet gone in the combat. Okay. We don't have to roll for initiative yet because you're just about to attack this person.
Cool, awesome. I've got my two dice. What do we have?
And also, because you have surprise, you automatically go first.
Cool. So 19 again with a low of 8. Thank fuck.
Okay.
19 again, which is plus 7, so that's 26.
That easily hits. And this is an auto crit, which means that you get to also, you also have sneak attack, which is going to be 66 plus 2d8 from this. They have to make a constitution saving throw, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a big constitution save right here. Cool. It's a DC 14 con save because it's a special poison.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I need to find one more D6. Oh, there we go. Okay, cool. Found one.
Right. Okay.
66.
Okay. Roll the damage.
66. Rolling. Ooh. Okay, I've got a couple of shit ones, but we're not bad. So that is 10. That is 11. So that's 21.
Did you roll the 2d8s?
Haven't rolled the 2d8s yet. 21. So that's plus 6, 27. 2d8s. 27 plus 6, that is 33, plus 5 is 38.
38, well, that's not all. Yeah. You also have to add, did you add your dex yet?
I haven't added my dex yet.
So you said 38?
Yeah.
Plus 4?
Plus 4.
Which is 42?
42, yeah.
And Chameleon rolled a natural 6 on the save, so that's another 2d8s.
Another 2d8, 42. Fuck me. What the fuck am I about to do this with? So that was what? That was 38, right? Plus 2
42. It's 42 now.
42. So plus 2 is 44.
44.
Plus 7 is
51. 51 poison damage. Ooh! You stab this into the back of Chameleon's neck. It's a full, like, are you trying to kill Chameleon right now?
Yeah, I mean, like, what option do I have? Like, I've got her in the best position that I can have her
she-
in.
I'll tell you this, you don't instantly kill her, but you do knock her very unconscious. You like stabs deep into the base of her neck, the angle slightly off, so you don't like penetrate anything super vital, but the toxins and everything, she like seizes up and then just goes limp, like after like a moment or two of struggling silently, but she can't, like the poison just seeps in so quickly. It hits her nervous system right away. Like you stab straight into her central nervous system. She is completely incapacitated.
Nice.
Oh my goodness. We are just out of time. You like stabbed her. She fell unconscious. You like caught her and just all I want is for you just to describe for me how you now, after having taken this person out, extract yourself from this facility. Because you still have the Rodan up above you.
Okay, I still have the Rodan up above me, but I'm in this tight space. So
you're in a hallway. No one has seen you because you haven't. I mean, there's probably security cameras that have seen you just do this. But I will say this, as you stab and she like falls unconscious, you see her, the scales turn back into those, that familiar scaly chameleon skin.
Yeah.
One of the eyes like turns around to look at you just like with this accusatory glare, like before it like rolls back up and closes and she falls unconscious. How do you get yourself, what your way out of here?
Okay, cool. So my plan is to peek back to the door that I came in and see if they're still having a hard time.
Yeah, it's been 6 seconds. They're like,
So I'm going to like yeet Chameleon as much as I can onto my back. I'm not the strongest person, but I can like drag her out pretty quickly.
She's not heavy. She's not a heavy person.
And I'm going to like kind of like get her around me. Come out, and as I come out, I'm just going to take like 6 or 7 ball bearings and just go like, like all over, like all the shit. Just like break all their shit.
Oh no, you start breaking all over this government facility.
Like, just break their shit. No, fuck them. They're making me work a night shift. Break all their shit, and then I'm going to try to get back onto that like trolley and like get out, or I'm going to look for an exit and like barrel it.
There's the exit that you came through is a large open, like it's the large open warehouse like entry door where they're driving trucks and stuff in, so you can just straight run out that door. People are like, hey, what's going on?
Anybody who sees me do that or like direct makes eye contact me is getting knocked the fuck out on the way up. Just like,
one person runs over, excuse me ma'am, can you out on the ground. It's unclear how, it's unclear why they assumed your gender like that as you just run through, because you're a person in a full black bodysuit.
I know, right?
But it rolled real high on insight. Rolled real high on insight. Say, excuse me, ma'am. You run out the door. Scurry out the door. How do you get the Rodan back down? How do you get yourself back into the Rodan?
Ooh, so like the Rodan responds like to like a whistle like thing. So I'm gonna go.
Yes.
And then like it goes and like finds me. And then I'm gonna get inside of that, launch Chameleon in there. Strap them down with every bit of rope or whatever the fuck we have in there. Like, strap them down, gag them, bind their
it's,
arms.
It's like that flight attendant who duct taped the person into their chair. You just Chameleon is unable to even move at all. Still and unconscious and like just foaming at the mouth.
Exactly. And then I'm gonna fly back to the academy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well done, Jackal. As you leave the facility and like that night when you get in the sensory deprivation chamber, once again, Zakes comes in. He congratulates you on a job well done. Uh-huh. He removes the details of the facility from your mind so you don't have to worry about it. There's no loose ends. Chameleon is safely taken into custody. Yeah. You know how this goes. She always escapes, but she was stopped for now. And who knows? Maybe there's some weird stuff going on at that facility that if we ever revisit this, we can get into in more detail. But that was really awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. I had a great time.
Yeah. Okay. Next time we may expand the amount of playtime slightly, but I think that was really fun.
That was super fun. That was lovely.
And for all of you who basically listened, that we set up like, I don't know, it felt to me like a world, even if it's not detailed, everything's filled in. Like, sure, maybe the kingdom needs a name, maybe the king and queen needs a name, blah, 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 blah. But we got the gist.
Yeah, we got the gist. We kind of know how it works. And also, like, it was quite easy to, like, immediately, like, make an aesthetic. Like, and I know that sometimes when you're trying to be inclusive, like, you want to be detailed and go really deep because you want to be respectful. But, like, you can also just be brave and take some risks and test some stuff out with your friends in this way and just be like, what happens if you put these two vibes together? Bang, and see. And then do your research. No one's going to come for you.
Yeah. I was hoping that that Chameleon was going to make it all the way to the Sentinel part of it so we could actually see the Sentinels being constructed. Ooh. But honestly, you were too good.
Yeah.
You were so good, you took her out before we even got there. So it's pretty awesome. You took her out right in the hallway.
This is why I play rogues.
that was some crazy damage.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that the poison damage could also be doubled, but it's a con save situation. It's a real shame. But an extra 4d8 would have been bonkers as well.
Yeah, that'd
have
been crazy.
But I guess as a little debriefing, we should, I guess, decompress. What were you, what were some parts of that you really liked, and what were some parts of it that you think we could improve for next time? Just like, and this is not the segment, this is the game that we just played.
I mean, like you mentioned, obviously, like, I would like a little bit more, like, detail and, like, understand, like, how the sort of world works. I was really excited to, like, all of a sudden be like, oh, there's screens? I have screens. Oh, yes, I forgot I'm an X-Men. Great. That was really exciting. So like, it was really cool to also find myself in like a weird like medieval futuristic African Asia.
Yeah.
Which is really like loads
it's like
of
Afro-Asia form. Futurism.
You know what I mean?
Mixed with, yeah. Well, it's, I guess the X-Men as well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So like that was super fun. Yeah, I don't know. Like I think like with D&D, like the more you play, the richer the worlds become. So it's just kind of like, oh, that's really cool. I don't think that there's anything outright that I would be like, fix this now.
That's the thing. All the stuff that we needed was essentially there.
Yeah.
And we can build up more as we go along.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, wait, roll a d6. I want to know what poison would have affected her if she'd remained conscious.
Oh, hang on.
What affected Chameleon?
5.
Oh, she would have been frightened of her allies. That would have been orange.
Yeah, orange, yeah. Frightened of her allies. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, please continue. Sorry, I just wanted to know which one she would
have been. Yeah, I think all the building blocks were kind of there, and it's not enough time to find a flaw. And also, like, it's loads of fun.
Yeah.
We're just kind of having fun and a good time. So, like, if you're anxious about playing D&D, it really is just that easy. Yeah, we may know that, like, some of the rules better, but, like...
Mm. Actually, you know, instead of flaws, we should say what would you like to explore in that world next?
I would love to explore, like, the architecture. I'm like... Like, like, feudal Japan, like, there's screens, but then there's, like, these big, like, solid slabs of walls of, like, African-style buildings. And then, like, I want to know how the kingdom functions. Like, I'm really interested now in the political landscape of the kingdom. Like, and how sort of traditional African cultural practices and traditional Japanese cultural practices meet and complement or contradict each other in the world.
Yeah, because we're combining, like, I would be really interested to, like, do research, a lot more research into both, like, how African monarchies tend to function and how, like, Japanese, I guess, monarchy. I mean, an emperor is basically a king by another name. They function. I'm pretty sure empires and kingdoms basically function the exact same way.
Yeah.
In most cases, I know that like in some traditions, like the Japanese emperor has been like a god figure, which is really interesting. I don't know. I'd be interested. Yeah. I know for like. I mean, North Africa, the pharaohs were sometimes viewed as deities. Yeah. It'd be really interesting to look into a lot of this stuff.
It'd be super, like, exciting. And, like, and then also, like, ideas around honor. Like what would that mean? Especially for, like, the sort of shunned mutants. Like, I'm thinking from a character perspective. Like, what's the equivalent? Like, what am I... you know what I mean? Like, how is this working?
Yeah, and from an ideological, like, we got into it slightly, but right off the bat, the ideology of your organization was being challenged by your very existence. Because, like, the X-Men exist as an independent body and just do their own thing. They're freedom fighters.
Yeah.
You guys are government stooges. According to the setup.
And, like, and that was kind of interesting. Like, from that get-go, like, my first thought was, like, right, how the fuck am I going to get us out of this deal? Like, like how do we get out? Because, like, I'm in the world that I'm dreaming into in my head. I'm like, what kind of shady shit have they asked us to do? Like, where's the moral gray area for us? Like, and how do we sleep at night knowing that we're doing... Essentially, like, how grimdark are these leaders?
Well, and I'm even looking at it like if we were to follow the idea that the leaders are viewed as deities in some way, then the question is, who are all of these dissenters that you guys are being sent out? And do you believe, like, I mean, most people probably would believe in at least the authority of the monarch.
Yeah.
So for you guys, is this like an honorable thing? Is this a way to show people like no we're good, we're actually helping to keep the peace, so by helping make this into sort of a police state, we're like at least a surveillance state, we're showing up and intimidating people who oppose the person who pretty much the vast majority of the populace accepts is good. I think this is a very interesting world that we
and it starts to pose some questions, because then, you know, like, why is Gacha doing what he's up to? Like, what's the motivation there? And
what's Gacha's deal?
Yeah, and also, like, what are we all not seeing? What Kool-Aid are we drinking? Like, I'm now fascinated. I'm like, right, like, There's got to be something shady going on here. Like, it can't.
Yeah. And is there secret knowledge that you guys have access to, or that Zix has access to, that is like making this a necessary evil, that you guys are like, no, we have to go along with this for now because it's worse if Gotcha gets in power, but we plan on eventually bringing down the monarchy or reforming the monarchy in some way. Anyway, I don't know. This was exciting. And we would have eventually gotten to meet Chameleon, I guess, if she had survived round one. But your damage was too high.
Assassins, yeah.
Yeah, real, real strong. Okay, well, that's it for us here on Three Black Halflings. I hope you enjoyed this new show format. We basically get to hear us play some D&D. And like Unati was saying, we may know the rules a little bit better. And we do not recommend that you spend just 30 minutes of world building. Yeah, but hopefully this was a demonstration of how just a little bit of world building can be more than enough to start and have a really fun time.
Yeah.
And then you just build it up as you go.
Yeah.
We may not have dug into the monarchy if Unati did not then tell me as DM, I'd really like to get into like the workings of this kingdom and find out what's going on here.
Yeah.
I think that would be a really interesting avenue to pursue.
Yeah.
That would have been something to look into.
I literally chose Cordia at random.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Have some fun.
Yeah, and it shaped everything. So anyway, hopefully this is a fun demonstration. I hope to do this with more people down the line. Let us know if you liked this, folks, and we can do it again. Maybe me and Unati, maybe we bring somebody else in. Maybe, yeah, one of these days, who knows? We'll see. But thank you all so much for having listened to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. That's it for us.
Yeah. So long, Shire
folk. Yeah, so long, Shire folk.
Woohoo! Bye! Meow!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.